Good morning, everybody. By the way, thank you, Jesus. I have noticed in the last few weeks, and I want to share this with you, that if you've been with us for any length of time, you have seen us walk through a number of blatant demonic attacks and stuff and things that go on. They happen in the church. They happen typically to leadership. They happen to hinder a church body from fulfilling the vision that God has got for them. These things just happen. Now, we have stood and we have prayed and we have conquered because that is what we've been given. But what makes me angry, I'm going to tell you this right now, this makes me angry. What I've seen is an onslaught against our people. That's what I've seen. And I want you to be aware that all that's going on, you know, we're not going to get into the spiritual warfare aspect, but what I want to tell you is that what's happening is the enemy wants to hinder this body from what God has given us to do. I mean, really, the call that's on House on the Rock Church for Ipsy and beyond, and that's to bring the message of God's grace and faith and His love to this area, along with the supernatural, the manifestation of the supernatural, healings and miracles and breakthroughs and lives changed, and the gospel. So we're getting a little flack. But what I want you to be aware of is that when you've done all, stand. You've already won. You already have the victory. The enemy is a zero. He's a nothing. He's a loser. All right? Can't take anything from you unless you give it. All right? Are we in agreement? All right. Now, I wanted you to hear that from me because I want you to know that I have I have certain things that I pray for our church. I mean, I have a lot of things, a lot of people that I pray for within our church, within our body. And I have a list of things that I'd like to ask if you would join me in these areas in prayer and really a prayer of faith. Now, I have given this list to Tom Thomas for his group and asked them to pray. They do this on Saturday nights and be real specific. But what I want to do and what I really felt led to do was this morning, the ushers will be at both side doors and the center door. We've got about 60 copies of these green sheets. Let me tell you what's on them, okay? These are the things that I pray, and I'm going to ask you to join with me, those of you that really feel led to and want to pray this prayer of faith. For our people to seek a deeper revelation of God's grace and a greater desire for outreach. For all our staff and leads to lead with even more wisdom. For our people to diligently seek after and flow to an even greater degree in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and freely enter into the presence of God. For salvations and baptisms of the Holy Spirit to increase in our church. For increase in attendance, volunteers, and finances to do more for His kingdom. For our parking situation to be able to handle more cars. For our frontage road to be paved. For our church to have favor with the community. For the Grace and Life program to reach people in our community and for the instructors to continue to be sensitive to those in their class. I disappeared. Remain soft and pliable to the Holy Spirit and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For the love of God and the sense of family to be more present in our church as we go forward. In Jesus' name. So if you want one of these, they'll be available for you as you leave the church. So if you want to join with me today, take them home, take those sheets home, put them on your fridge or put them on your mirror or whatever. Put them in your Bible. But I'm going to ask those of you that sincerely want to pray, please pray with me. Please join with me. We're going where I believe God wants us to go. Okay, let's get in the Word. Will you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, the title of this series. This is the end. I'm going to synopsize everything today. This series is called Identity Has Character. Identity Has Character. I'll give you the title in a minute. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. For some, this is a familiar scripture. I want to read this. A New King James is what I use, okay? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify. Sanctify means to set apart, set aside, set differently from the flow of everybody else. Set apart, set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now through this time, this series, the past series and this series now, what we've been talking about and majoring on is our identity in Jesus Christ. These are some of the classes that we teach in our Grace Life program. But our identity, everything flows out of our identity. Everything, do you know, being able to tap into, we can understand our authority in Jesus, and we can command healings, and we can command the supernatural, and we can take authority over things, or we can break through in prosperity, we can live in prosperity, we can live in all the promises of God. But here's the issue. If we don't know our identity in Jesus Christ and through him, we're going to struggle with seeing these things happen. And then we're going to go, I don't get it. It doesn't work. The Bible doesn't work. The Word doesn't work. I don't get it. I don't understand. It's because, really, for the most part, we really, truly do not understand who we are now. Amen. If we are born again, we are made new. Now that happens in our spirit. We're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. In our spirit, it was a zero before we were born again. Our spirit, what makes us alive, was completely and totally and 100% recreated. Cleaned up. Went from dead, a dead spirit, to a living spirit. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Forgiven of everything that killed it. Every sin. Now, we also have a soul, which is our heart. Our mind, will, and emotions, our belief system. It can encapsulate it in our soul as our heart. Okay? And we have a body. Now here's the conflict in regarding our identity. We get born again, we have a spirit that got saved, but our heart, our soul, our mind, our feelings, our emotions, and our body did not get saved. They didn't get born again. So what happens is we don't really get a grip on who we are in Jesus Christ. And we battle. The soul and the body battle against the spirit. And the spirit's working, trying to get it through to the soul and the body. Everything's changed. You're new. You're brand new. And with this new identity comes everything God has promised. All these good things. And it's done. It's all right. You got it. It's yours. And we struggle. Because we don't grasp a hold of the new identity that we have. When Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. This sanctification is our, this setting apart is our spirit, soul, and body. He's saying, you've put off the old person and destroyed them, trampled on them. And you put on and sunk into that brand new person. And that's who you have. That's who you are. You're working. It's the identity of Jesus Christ. And that's who you're working through. Okay? May that be preserved and blameless. Faultless in the Greek. Blameless means faultless. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that is part of how our identity, how this works. This is why we fight and why we battle. And if we're battling with your soul and with your body, what you don't understand yet is who you are. Please understand, there's no condemnation in this. This is a transition. Amen. Because When we come into the kingdom of God as born again Christians, man, we don't have all this. It takes a little while to understand it, but the more you pursue who you really are, the faster you see the changes, the more you see the victories, man, the more this stuff falls off, the better life gets. I mean, in every way, okay? Now, through our identity comes character. Identity has character. There is character, whatever that identity is that we have, there's a character that flows through it. Character is the thinking and the morality a person is known by. It's how we're known. Whatever that character is, good, bad, or indifferent, that's what flows through the understanding of our identity. Our identity comes out of the belief of our heart. Is this all making sense? Okay, because it's really important that we get this, because we are called to live in the victories that Jesus paid for. Man, he paid a heavy price. It's ours. But it's up to us to choose to live in it. Okay? So, the thinking and the morality of a person comes out of our character. Now Romans 8:29 says that God, and I'm going to paraphrase this, God has planned all along for us, you and me, everybody that is born again, everybody that has come into the kingdom, every single one of us, to be conformed into the image of his son Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means literally in the Greek, image means, I'll read it, the ethics and the morality of Jesus through his identity and his character. God's always planned for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Ethics and morality through the knowledge of our identity, or his identity that we have, and his character. That's always been the plan of God for us, because the benefits for us are there. They're not in the old. They're in the new. Make sense? Okay. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man or as a woman think in their heart, so are they. So my question to you, how do you see you? How do you see you? And don't go, well, I see me as God sees me, unless you really believe that. Okay? Because for the most part, we don't see us as God sees us. We really don't. Because if we did, look out! Those greater works that Jesus promised we'd live in, walk in, we would, to a far greater degree. You see, we've had many miracles happen in this church, many healings, and that's part of what we know is ours. But we haven't seen anything yet. Once we get this as a body, once we get this as a people, who we are, and we begin to see ourselves as God sees us. He's looking at our spirit going, come on, you got it all. If we can get your soul and your body to listen, to get this in our thinking and begin to transform in our identity and our character, and things change. He says, I want you to get this. But I want you to see, and I'm going to paraphrase for the Lord, I want you to see you as I see you. And don't go back. Don't make a change. Don't go off. Don't take another track. Don't go off the rails. Okay? That's what the Lord wants for us. You can find a lot of different identities and characters that come through those identities all around us. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
Look at our political realm. Look at our schools. Look at our businesses. All around. You have people who are calling themselves Christians. I read one by a very famous secular singer this past week, and she lives a very ungodly, very immoral, and ethically immoral life. Proclaims, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. So, this particular belief, this is a belief of the heart. I want you to see how this works. This comes from the identity that they have embraced. And the character that comes out of that identity, this all has influence because of fame, money, promotion. It has influence. So they have become an influencer of an identity and character that is the anti-image of Jesus. Now, here's the contrast. When, and I say when, because really this is what we all want. When we grab hold of who we are in Jesus Christ, how God sees us, and our identity to us becomes really entrenched. And the character that proceeds out of that identity transitions more and more into the ethics, morality of Jesus Christ. We become the influencers. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a real competition out here. God wants to influence people for his kingdom and for the best and really get to know him. We're called to be influencers. I mean, most of us have heard of these Instagram influencers. Self-promoters, got people following them. And I mean, yeah, okay. We are kingdom influencers in this world. But it doesn't happen until we grasp a hold of, really start believing who we are in Jesus Christ and allow this transition to happen in our soul and our body, in our character, this character of Jesus, ethics and morality, to begin to flow through this new identity, and things begin to change. People know we're different. It's a good thing. It really is a good thing. Okay? It's hope and help for them, but it's a blessing to us. All right? All right, here's the title for today. I finally threw the intro. Takes a while sometimes. It's called Character Test. Character Test. Everybody's heard of getting their character tested. Most people have, and it does. It's a normal thing. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, speaking about Jesus, but was in all points tempted, literally tested, as we are, and yet without sin. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying that is that Jesus, our model, our template, as the Son of Man, as having flesh, emptied himself, took on flesh, as our template, as our model, lived without sin through the test, because he was tested in everything that we face, all points, every aspect. There's not a thing that we think, see, face, or gone through that Jesus hasn't experienced, that he was tested in. What was tested ultimately in reality for Jesus? His heart. His heart was tested in every single area that we are. God tests our hearts. It's a test of our character, is what this translates into. Let me read this to you. 1 Chronicles, I'm just going to go through this list. 1 Chronicles 29:13. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. Psalm 7:9. For the righteous God test the hearts and minds. Psalm 11:5. The Lord tests the righteous. Oh my gosh. You think he's making a point? Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Finally, 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts. Does God test us? What do you think? Does he test us? Are we going to be tested? Jesus was tested in everything. Do we get excluded? He conquered for us. He won the victories for us. He took our sicknesses and our diseases, and by his stripes we were already healed. So, are we still going to get tested? Yeah. Where? In our heart. Our heart gets tested. That's the reality of where our character, see, that's our belief system. That's where our character comes through. And the base is the knowledge of our identity. Okay? Yes? Are we getting it? Okay. So we will go through character test. Why are we tested? That's always a big question. Why do we have to be tested? Why are we tested? Why does God test us? What's the deal? Is God up there with his computer system? I mean, banging out the test for all of us and sovereignly dictating what we're going to face, what we're going to go through and circumstances? No. Not at all. Does God orchestrate these tests for us? Does he put us into these positions to get tested severely and walk through? Now, this is where these sovereignty teachings come from, that say God's controlling every aspect of your life. And God has determined you're going to go through a death in the family. God has determined you're going to get a sickness or disease. God has put this on you. God is testing you. That is false doctrine. Okay? I want to make that clear. So why are we tested? In reality, here it is. So that we can see where we are in our character. Amen. That's it. So we can see where we are in our character. Does it match up? Does it look like Jesus? This comes out of the belief of our heart and who we are in him. Our character flows from that. We can see who we are. I'm real careful. I try to be really, really careful with when I say I'm going to do something. Now, you probably all don't face this, but I do. And sometimes I miss it. I'm not always able to follow through. I had to apologize to somebody not too long ago because I had promised I was going to come and visit them and see their business this past year. And this little niggling thing in the back of my head, it was just bouncing all the time. And every time I'd see that person, I'd say, I got to get down there. And I never did. And so, was that a reflection on my character? Sure. Do I always hit it on all cylinders? No. I try to. I purpose to. I intend to. Now, intention is one thing, but following through is another, right? Amen. But I missed it. My ethics and morality are really important to me. In my, I'm not talking as a pastor. I'm talking as brothers and sisters. To me, it's important that I really display or I show the character of Jesus. And this isn't a performance thing. This isn't because I'm following rigid rules. It's because It's the desire of my heart. That's what grace does. It's changed my heart and given me the desire to want to be like Jesus. Knowing my identity in him and wanting to be like him are two different things. They go in tandem, but they're two different things. So anyway, I've had a little, I'm just sharing you one of my character mishaps. And the Lord showed me where I missed it. So I had to, again, I had to apologize. And I fully intend to get there. And I will. All right? But it's to show us, this is why we're tested, so we can see where we are in our character. Are we still dragging along that old character? That one that comes from the old identity, which we have destroyed? Or not? It's good to know these things, and there's a reason. These tests also show us what we really believe about God. They show us where we are in character, and tests show us, they're to reveal to us what we really believe about our God. So the second question is, how does God test character? Test the heart, test the life. How does God test character? Here it is. Again, it's real simple. He gives us a free will to make a choice. Whatever the circumstance is, whatever it is we're going to face, the choice is in what we're going to believe and what we're going to do. That's how we're tested. That's how God tests us. What are you going to believe? What are you going to choose? And what are you going to do with that choice? Pretty simple, huh? Okay, so that's the how and the why we are tested. Now, we do reap whatever a man sows or a woman sows, they reap. It's just part of how things work. Okay? The choices that we make that are out of our old nature, old character, the one that we've keep dragging along with us at times or allow to spring up as we're transitioning into this new identity and character, that old stuff makes choices sometimes that is detrimental. And there are consequences. Don't worry, there's going to be a retake on the test. That's what I say. I say, praise God. Give me the retake. Thank you, Lord. So we get to retake the test. And this is God's love and his care for us because he wants us to go on. He wants us to be able to live above, to be the head and not the tail. To be able to live above and not beneath. To not self-inflict with consequences that come out of the old identity and the old character. Okay? That's his heart. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now with this knowledge, for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved or distressed in the Greek, by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done and given in his death and burial and resurrection for you and the new identity that you have and the character that's flowing through it, the image that you're growing into, even though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at this revelation of Jesus Christ. So we can rejoice as our character gets tested. Four main areas of character testing. Four main. This isn't all inclusive, but there are four main areas that our character, our new character from our new identity gets tested. Number one. Will we be obedient to a greater plan than our own? Will we be obedient to a greater plan for our lives than our own plan? I'm only going to give you the scripture references. Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he has for us, right? Prosperity, blessing, future, hope. Number two. Second area our character gets tested is in the love that we demonstrate. The love that we demonstrate. Not the love in the words that we use. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. The love that we demonstrate. How we live out this love along with the words. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 12. Number three are the promises that we keep. Not the promises we make, but the promises that we keep. Psalm 15, verse 4. Those promises that we keep, even though it costs us, or when it does cost us, because most often it will. And number four, fourth test of character is, are we known as being trustworthy? Are we known as being trustworthy? Faithfulness is what that is. Are we known that way? Are we known as a person? Remember, character is the ethics and morality distinctive to a person. Are we known as being trustworthy? Proverbs 20, verse 6. As a project manager for years with a chemical manufacturing facility, I had a lot of money, a lot of contracts, and a lot of contractors all throughout the Las Vegas Valley that worked for me. And one of the things that really bothered me, and I have mentioned this a couple of times before in the past, that really bothered me were the Christian construction companies, contractors, who bid or took on work. And I, at this time, I really want you to hear this in the light of how I'm saying this. I got to the point where I wouldn't hire a Christian. Wouldn't do it. Because their character, their ethics, and their morality were so, they were bad. They weren't good. Now, I've since changed, okay, and grown, and gotten wisdom, more wisdom. But what came out with a lot of these contractors that would bid these high-dollar jobs were lots of promises. And they never followed through, even after getting the bid. So they didn't keep their promises, and they were not trustworthy. They weren't obedient, really, to the plan, the greater plan in their life for them. God had much more for them. Many of them went out of business. Consequences. So that's just an example of the four areas that God tests character for everybody. All of us individually get this. You want to know the secret to taking this test? We get a handout before the test. You ever gotten a handout before the test that gives you all the answers? We get a handout that has all the answers on it. You know what it is? Or hold your phone up, one or the other. It's the Word of God. It's got all the answers in it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Promotion, blessing, and victory come with passing the character test. Every time. Promotion, blessing, and victory come with passing the test. And don't ever feel condemned when you fail, because you're going to get a retake. Okay? There's lots of opportunities for retakes, because God is for us, not against us. He wants us to get this for our benefit. Let me wrap up. How do you pass the character test? I mean, everybody wants to pass the first time around, right? Do we always do it? No. And a lot of times it is because we don't have our new identity in Jesus Christ and living through Him cemented. When we do, again, our character begins to transition into the ethics, morality of Jesus. And we begin to look like Him in our decisions. Okay? So, as we're transitioning, we're going to learn how to pass these character tests. Here they are. Bang, bang, bang. Number one, continue to learn and pursue who you really are in Him. Sounds simple, doesn't it? No, it really means, I mean, I'm serious when I say this. We have to choose to learn who we are, to embrace who we are now, to pursue this knowledge, understanding, the responses that we have in this. We have to pursue it. We got to go after it. We can't sit on our complacency and just say, well, it's just going to happen. I'm just going to blossom into it. It takes our participation to do this. Learn and pursue who you really are. You have to do this. It's important. You want to live in the victories and the blessings? You want to live in the promises? You want to begin to see the Word of God, I mean, really take off in your life? Pursue who you really are. Get it. Embrace it and start living it out. Number two, in the pursuing of our identity, we're going to take on His character. Now, last week I said, you know, one of the things that we do with what comes out of our mouth is a righteous man or a righteous woman studies how to answer, right? Thinks about it. Meditates on it, asks some questions about it. So, taking on the character of Jesus Christ with His ethics and His morality means I got to get to know Him. I mean, not just the surface reading pages or reading my phone, what's on my phone app, but I really got to get to know Him through the Gospels. Yes. I need this revelation of who He is. I need the revelation of His character in all these places where He was tested. How did He act? How did He react out of the identity that He had to grow into as the Son of Man? How did He do it? I have to look at those things because I'm going to decide, I'm going to choose that when I'm faced with a choice, a circumstances, an aspect in life, something happens. Am I going to take on His character or am I going to live in my old one? What am I going to do? So I'm going to take on His character from this new identity. Number three, we have to choose to take the character test. Because when they come, here's our option. Run as far away as fast as we can and hide. And ignore it. And hope it goes away. And live and continue in the humps and the bumps and the hiccups and the consequences and the problems and the issues the way that we've always done based on the old identity and character. Or every single time you face a test, I guarantee you're going to get one today. Guarantee it. If you haven't had one, you're going to get one, or two or three or four. It's going to happen. So you have to choose every time, everyone, to take the test. It's that simple. Don't run. Don't go away. Don't leave. Don't hide. Why take a retake if you don't have to?
Amen?
Amen? I know I've retaken enough tests in my life and enough character tests in my life. I don't want to take any more. Let's just go through it together in agreement and take each one as it comes and go through it. Amen? In the identity of Jesus Christ, who we are in, because our lives are hidden in Him, and we do everything through, we live through Him, and we take on His character. And that's how we pass the tests. Would you stand with me, please? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where's our prayer team today? Who is it? Come on up. Come on up. Anybody have a need this morning? Anybody want a breakthrough? Anybody need a healing? Y'all okay? Anybody need to be born again? Is anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? It is our eternal soul that is at stake.
Amen.
This is forever. You don't know Jesus? Today's your day. Everything changes knowing Him. Have you ever felt like you're complacent in pursuing your new identity, or complacent in pursuing what God has for you, or just struggling in a particular area that you feel like, yeah, I'm an overcomer, but it ain't working? It is working. Right here up front, they are full, our prayer team is, they're full of wisdom and discernment. They're full of faith. And they will pray for you, and you will see a difference, an answer, a breakthrough, a healing, a miracle. You will see it. Happens all the time here. Okay? Anybody have a need today? Anybody? Don't be bashful. Don't have to be. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I keep feeling like there's a couple of people that need to be up here, and I don't know who you are. But I keep feeling like the Lord has said there's a couple of people that need to be here. Right now. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Just get in line. We have any more prayer team? To anybody else? Don't you know that God's got the answers? He's got the solution to everything. Everything that we face. He's got it. So many times we put it off. You don't have to. Now's your time. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for all your provision, answers, solutions. Thank you, Jesus, for all you did. That gave us a brand new start in eternal life with a new identity and a character that looks like you. For the blessings, the promises, the victories that are in line in store for us. Help us, Lord, to pursue who we are in you and your character, and live above and not beneath. To be influencers in this world through you from now on. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget the prayer sheets on the way out if you feel led to pray.